Good morning, church. No PowerPoint today. I told Jenny, well, I've spoiled them anyway with PowerPoints. Today's lesson is really going to be a culmination of the lesson that we looked at Culver's Bible study, the Middleburg Bible Talk Bible study yesterday morning. A few of us were there. And also a couple of lessons that I put together for the new series of lessons that we're going to be using for what we have called the First Principles Bible Study. I'm going to suggest that we rename that to Spiritual Principles Bible Study. And what we've been doing with that is that new members to the congregation, new Christians, have an opportunity to get into people's homes and study a lesson 1 week, and then maybe a few weeks later into somebody else's home and study another lesson, and then a few weeks later into somebody else's home. And so that way new members and new Christians get to know the congregation better. We get to study the Bible together and fellowship together that way. And so that's what that series of lessons is designed for. So we didn't care as much for the book that we were using, and so I was commissioned to write the next series of lessons for that. So we'll start using those very soon. And it's really a series of lessons that everybody could participate in over time as the opportunity allows. So it's not just for new Christians. It's not just for new members of the congregation. It can be for all of us because it's basically spiritual principles that are so important and so valuable. Well, as Bert alluded to, the number one principle is to glorify God in all that we do. And so I'd like you to turn to 1 John 4, and we're going to look at one way, probably the primary way, in which we glorify God. And the title of today's lesson is Channeling God's Perfected Love. Channeling it. And you'll understand the concept there of channeling God's perfected love as we go through this study. 1 John chapter 4, just a summary of 1 John. It's really three tests that are delivered is the way I like to look at it. There's the righteousness test. He who is righteous practices righteousness. There is the doctrinal test, that when you stay within the truth that has been revealed by the apostles, then you are right with God. You go outside of that, you're not right with God. And then there is the love test. Those who love God will walk as God walks. And that's the concept I think we're going to look at here in 1 John 4, this idea of channeling God's perfected love through our love for one another. So follow with me, if you will, in 1 John 4, verse 7, beginning. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. We're going to focus in on that phrase, his love is perfected in us. But first, a few observations. When it says, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, that's the bottom line truth. We didn't love God. We sinned against God. We went our way. We did what we wanted. We are sinners. We fall short of the glory of God. In our pride and in our arrogance, we've lived whatever way we want to at times. We've done things, as Robert was talking about this morning. By the way, excellent remarks, Robert, this morning. Really, really thoughtful and helpful. We go our own way. We do what we want to do, rather than what God wants us to do. So it's not that we loved God. It's not that we were good. It's that God loved us. And he sent his Son to die for us It's His love that we learn about. It's not love that we give first. It's God who gives us love and teaches us about love and shows us what love really is. Notice when he says in verse 12, no one has ever seen God, it begs the question, why does he even bring that up? No one, we know that. No one has ever seen God. You can't see God and live. No one has ever seen God. So why does he bring that up? Because what he's saying is that God is seen through his love. And so he says, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So no one has seen God, but how do we see God? Through the love that we have for one another and his love is perfected in us. So let's talk about this idea of perfected love. Most people think that perfected means that something was changed from a state of flawed imperfection into a state of flawless perfection. That's usually how we view perfected. It's been perfected. It's been made flawless. It was imperfect, but now it's perfect. That's not the way the word is used here. And it's not the way the word is used throughout the scriptures. The word teleao in the Greek carries the idea of finished or completed or accomplished. That's a little bit different, isn't it? It's quite different. Finished, completed, accomplished. So how is God's love perfected in us? Does that mean God has taken us from an imperfect love and made us to have a perfect love? That's not the idea at all. The idea is that God's love has been completed in us. And that's an interesting concept. God manifests his love through us. We channel God's perfected love. And in so much as we do that, his love is perfected, accomplished, finished, completed. The purpose, the goal of his love is finished, completed in us as we love one another. So is there anything that you can think of that would be more important than that, is to channel God's perfected love to actually complete, finish, accomplish what God intends for us as his creation? Love is the completion. It's the accomplishment of everything that God has created us for and every purpose he has for us. And that's why you can see why the two great commandments would be both love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that God has revealed, everything that he's revealed, everything he's done, everything in his purpose and his plan is summed up by those two commandments to love. And so in so much as we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. I'll give you a couple of examples on this idea of perfected, just as an aside. James 2 and verse 22, you see that faith was acting along with his works, and faith was perfected by his works. That's the same word. Well, that's James talking about Abraham and how he offered up his son Isaac. And so he says, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was perfected by his works. How do works perfect faith? Not by making it a flawless faith beyond the need for improvement. That's not what James is talking about. But rather by making it an active faith. In other words, faith is imperfect until it reaches its goal in good works. So faith is accomplished. Faith is completed in works. Only when works complete faith, is it a living faith, an active faith, a saving faith. That's what James is talking about. Here's another example in John 4 and verse 34. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." That's the same word. The idea of perfected. So how did Jesus perfect God's work? Not by taking the flawed work of God and making it flawless. That's not the idea. He took an assignment of God and he turned it into action and so completed it. He perfected it. So in that concept of accomplishment, of completion, God is completing his love through us, in us, insofar as we love one another. God is completing his love. He's perfecting his love in us. So now look down with me at 1 John 4 and verse 16 and continue the same thought process and add a few more ideas to it. 1 John 4 and verse 16. John says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." So, again, a lot more information here, but notice we're still in that same concept of perfected love. Now, let's dig out what's in here. Notice where he says, "Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." You got to think about that. Abiding in love results in us abiding in God. But us abiding in God is actually God abiding in us. Channeling God's perfected love. God is abiding in us in so much as we abide in God. We abide in him. We are within him. We focus on him. We dwell in him. We put our mind on him. We learn about him. We come to know him. We abide in God. And we abide in love because God is abiding in us. God is channeling his perfect love through us. In so much as we abide in love and love one another. So the flow of thought is very much like 1 John 3, if you want to turn back a page, in verses 18 and 19. 1 John 3 and verses 18 and 19, where John says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him." That's the same as saying, "Let the love of God be perfected in you." The way to have confidence before God in the day of judgment is to love each other with the perfected love of God. In other words, love that doesn't just talk, but turns into deeds. God's love is perfected in us by deeds, by our love for one another. Not talk, not "I love you," and then treat somebody wrongly, harshly, unkindly, or don't meet their needs, don't help them. It's not talk, it's deeds. God's love is channeled through us through what we do. What we do perfects God's love in us. And so, if you look at 1 John 4, 17, "By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. When God's love is demonstrated through us, when it's channeled through us and we allow God's love to be manifested in our deeds, he says we have confidence in the day of judgment because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now, I think my first thought that comes to mind is, well, wait a minute, I'm not quite as he is, am I? Nor are you, because we're not perfect. We sin, we fail, we don't always love the way that we should. But John's point is this, is that we are striving, we are abiding in love, in God's love, and we are allowing God's love to abide in us, and we are perfecting God's love by what we do in this world. And when our mind is focused on that, when our heart is filled with that, when our deeds reflect that, that we're loving one another, then we have confidence in the day of judgment. You see that the idea there to give confidence in the day of judgment is to allow God's love to be perfected in us. To recognize that God is channeling his love through us. That our main purpose, our main focus in this life is to let God love through us. And that's very profound. Because it gives you meaning. It gives your life purpose. It gives you a focus. It helps you to see that that's what it's all about. You know, I always laugh a little bit at John Lennon, you know, all you need is love. Well, he wasn't wrong. It properly understood, all you need is love. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, the reason why there is no fear in love, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. The reason why, he says, is because fear involves punishment. And he who fears is not perfected in love. The reason why there is no fear in love is because there is no threat of punishment for being a loving person. We don't get punished for love. Love is never wrong. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. There is no law against these things. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And so if we're fearing God in the sense of being afraid of the judgment, as we know we're supposed to fear God, reverence God, respect God, even tremble before God if we are in sin. But if we are fearing God in the sense of being afraid of the judgment, then God's love has not been perfected in us. In other words, we need to understand better about God working through us, channeling through us, operating in his love through us, so that we will have that purpose and that mission and that focus. And when we do that, then fear is taken away because love is never punished. There is no fear in love. It's the same sequence of thought, if you think about it, in 1 John chapter 2, only with a different subject. Verses 28 and 29, where John says, "And now, little children, abide in him." That's familiar, right? "So that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." That's familiar. That's what John's still talking about in 1 John 4. Now, verse 29, "If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." What is the confidence? Where does it come from? It comes from acknowledging and from living and from practicing that which we know God wants to channel through us, which is righteousness in this context. And so we can have confidence in the day of judgment when our focus, our heart, our desires, our purpose, our meaning is to show God's righteousness. You see how God is channeling through us? He's channeling His love through us. He's channeling His righteousness through us. And so we see in 1 John 2, another similar sequence of thought. John says in verse 3, "By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked." And I know you say, "I'm not perfect at that." That's not what He's talking about. He's already told us in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So He is not talking about sinless perfection here. He's talking about purpose and meaning and focus. He's talking about us recognizing that the love of God is channeled through us, and that we are to love, and we are to love Him and keep His commandments, and we are to practice righteousness. And so our focus is on that. Our purpose is that. And God's love is perfected in us, and there is no fear in the day of judgment because our hearts and our minds are set on what God wants. Are we perfect? No. But God's love is perfected in us in so much as we love one another. So, all of that then to say, how are we doing? Are we thinking that way? That's the main goal of this lesson this morning. If nothing else, it's just to get us to be thinking the right way. This is who I am. This is what God wants. God's channeling His love through me. He's perfecting His love and He's completing it. He's accomplishing it. And He wants me to be that channel through whom He works. He's perfecting His love in me keeping His commandments, being focused on righteousness and practicing truth. God is working. God is channeling. God is perfecting His love through me, through you. We think like that, then we're going to do better. We're going to accomplish. We're going to allow God to perfect His love in us. And so it's the right way to think, isn't it? I want you to, just before we close the lesson, turn to John 13. Just to observe Jesus here for a moment. I just love this because it fits so well with who Jesus is and what He was trying to accomplish and how He did it. It's the last night. He's going to be crucified in a day. He's going to be betrayed that night. And so He knew that His hour had come. Verse 1, to depart out of this world to the Father. And notice how it says, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. That's not just in there just to be forgotten or just to be, let's say that and then move on. It connects. It connects. How did He love them to the end? The very next thing we read about is Him getting up, taking a towel, girding His waist, and washing everybody's feet, including Judas. And then, when He does that, He says in verse 7, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. In verse 12, it says, when He had washed their feet and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. He's channeling through them the love of God. He's showing them what it means to perfect God's love. If you know these things and do these things, you are blessed. You're fulfilling your purpose. You're glorifying your Father by loving one another. So how are you doing in that? With perfecting or being, maybe that's the right way to say it, being perfected in God's love. And I'll just close with 1 Corinthians 13. This is our first study in the Spiritual Principles series of lessons. The first two lessons are called The Greatest Commandments, Part 1, Part 2. And much of that lesson is focused in on the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. But I'd like to point you back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, which ties right in. Paul says, earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And then he begins to talk about love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Man, that's strong, isn't it? Can't mistake that one. Give up my body to be burned? I'm pretty good. But if I have not love, I'm nothing. It profits me nothing. And so he goes on to describe love. Love is patient. Love suffers long. Love acts kindly. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How are you doing with channeling God's perfected love? So you see, those lessons that we're going to be studying are going to be on understanding how to channel God's perfected love in our behaviors, in our deeds, in our words, what we do to love one another. Because if we're not doing that, then it's worthless. It's meaningless. Come to church all you want. It's not going to help if you don't have love. And so we'll be focusing in on, in fact, we may even make that our theme for the coming year. If the men agree with all of that we might do that. Make that our theme for the coming year. Defining, describing, understanding better what love is and how to manifest God's perfect love. I appreciate your good attention this morning. We're going to close with a song and a prayer. It's been good to be here today. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, we hope that you will be thinking seriously about looking into the gospel and what you must do in order to be saved from your sins, to be right with God. We'd be glad to help you with that. And if you would like the prayers of the congregation, also we would be glad to help you with that. Will you come as we stand and sing?